Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and we're going to turn to Psalm 34. And we're just going to look at a psalm and a proverb to start out the message this morning and kind of set the premise for what I want to minister to you along the lines of this morning. Psalm chapter 34 in verse 19, it simply says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Praise God. He does deliver us out of them all. Did you notice? You know, the Bible talks about right now regarding the world, that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. You know, one of the great revelations that I got when I got saved was that there really is a world. And there's a spirit of the world. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. And it was like you come out of the world and the worldly influence, and it's like, whoa, there really is spiritual forces at work in this world trying to blind and minimize and marginalize God. And it's like, wow, you can see through it when you really come to know Christ and you have the Spirit of God in Him. And I love that scripture. It says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Well, when you come out from under the sway of the wicked one and you see the world still swaying and you're not swaying with them anymore, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You get persecuted for not swaying. You get persecuted for not thinking and acting and talking like the world because you're born again into a brand new life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Another kind of, I'll just say, a kind of a parallel scripture here. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. Okay? This one we'd be kind of talking about afflictions. The Lord delivers him. These could represent your own weaknesses. Also, you know, you might fall, get back up. Scripture here clearly says a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. So one of the things that we see as we're endeavoring to live for God, you've constantly got forces that are working against you, opposing you, trying to knock you down, as it were. You know, think of the Apostle Paul. Here's a great man of God doing what God called him to do, but you can look there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it'll just bullet point all the things that he went through. Shipwrecked, whipped, you know, night and day in the deep, hungry, fastings, different things that he went through. Yet he was a righteous man living for God, but he had afflictions. He had things that were coming against him. This morning, I just want to take a look at, just in terms of our own walk with God, as far as those times when, as we're going through our lives, doing our best to endeavor to live for God, we fall. We may miss it. We may be persecuted. We may respond to some things wrongly. We fall down. It could be the way, you know, the scripture talks about how to lay aside the weights and the sins which so easily beset you. You know, there are certain weights. They're not necessarily sins. They're just distractions. And there's also sin that you know is wrong. All those different forces can get us, can knock us down. Okay, this morning I'm simply going to minister along the lines of what you need to know if you fall. What you need to know if you fall. Chances are, since you've received Christ, you've probably missed it at some point in your life, in your spiritual life. And one of the things that I found just as I was walking with God, when I would get knocked down, I would realize how long I would stay down. Sometimes I'd get up right away. Sometimes I'd stay down there for weeks, maybe even months, before I'd really get back up and start focusing and living for God. You need to know this morning that if you get knocked down, whatever it is, you know, whether it's off, you get knocked down by a fence, whether you get knocked down by, you know, your own sin or persecution or something that just kind of knocks you down, all right? It could be, you know, things that are happening around you, situations. It's important to know that you can get back up again, and you can get back up again quickly. God has made a way. I kind of think, too, when I think of this theme a little bit of the old Rocky movies. Remember when they came out? I think it was 76 when the first one came out, and I remember going to the theater and seeing that, and seeing Rocky knocked down. It was like he wasn't a very great fighter. You know, he was kind of this amateur taking on the best. But one thing that he kept doing was he kept getting back up. He just kept getting back up. There's a word for that. When you get knocked down, but you just keep getting back up, it's called tenacity. Tenacity. And I just, you know, there are going to be times in your life when you're going to come to some to some resolutions in your own heart. You know, I'll tell you what, I don't care if I get knocked down 10,000 times, I'm going to get up 10,001 times. There is a resolution, a tenacity. And that's kind of, you know, in that movie, kind of flashing back to the old Rocky movie, I think it's like the 14th round, and Apollo Creed knocks him down to the mat, and he's kind of, you know, fighting and clawing to get up, and, you know, his manager saying, stay down, stay down. You know, this, you can't do this anymore. You know, and other people are saying, stay down. But, you know, no, Rocky, you know, he just gets back up and answers the bell one more time. You know, and I'll tell you, what you're so impressed with isn't even his boxing skills. It's his tenacity to get back up again. And people that are great and people that do great things for God, they're not people that got everything right the first time. They're simply people that just kept getting back up again. There's an overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. I like to say it this way. Any area in my life where you can see victory, there is a trail of the mercy and the grace of God that stayed with me until I got it. All right? And that's really the key, is realizing, man, no matter what happens, no matter what knocks me down, I can get back up again. So, what you need to know if you fall. Number one thing, you need to know that God is for you. In other words, these are things that you need to know when you're on the mat, when you're down, when you've missed it, when you are not connected with God for whatever reason, distracted, okay, whatever the enemy was able to do to successfully knock you down in that place. You need to know, number one, that God is for you. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Something that you've got to get clear in your heart and mind, say it is that boxing ring or boxing match, whatever. God Almighty, holy, all-powerful, all-glorious, he is your absolute biggest fan. He loves you. He cares for you. He is the one who is cheering the loudest for you. You might think, well, no, I've got family, I got a friend. Yeah, they may be cheering loud for you, but there is one who loved you while you were a sinner and sent his son to die on the cross for your sin. There is one who knows the very number of hairs on your head. There is one to whom all things are naked and open before him. He knows your thought. He knows your words even before you speak. He's one who knows you thoroughly and completely better than you know yourself, and he is for you. One of the biggest revelations that we got to get about God is the simple fact that he is for us. He is for you. Now, it doesn't mean that he's for everything I do, all right? I know that he has not been for everything that I've said, everything that I've done. He's not for sin, okay? When Ed House has missed it, God isn't yes and amening me because I'm his. No, not at all. But you got to realize it's like you with your own children. Your children may miss it. They may not be respectful to you. They may say or do something wrong, okay? But yet, even though they said or did something wrong, you're still for them, you know? You're not for the mistakes. You're not for the wrong things, but you're for them. And that's the thing that we've got to realize, too, when we're, again, on the mat, we fall in whatever the situation is, no matter what, I know that no matter what I've done, no matter what I've said, that my Father, my Heavenly Father, is for me. There is no one on the planet who wants me to succeed more than he does. And I so love this, kind of, it's almost like a follow-through scripture, this passage that I think really sums it up well. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's powerful. What is that saying? Regardless of whatever it was that caused you to fall, whatever it was that caused you to lose your focus on God or to fall away, whatever that thing was, you know one thing about that thing. It cannot separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No failure, no moral failure, financial failure, relationship failure, nothing you've done can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And I can't tell you how many times I've stayed on the mat with condemnation in my heart and in my mind, just thinking, man, surely God has given up on me. Surely. You know, He is for you when you are not for you. You see, you can look at yourself and think, man, I've judged people for doing what I've just done. I've been critical of people for being flaky or not being consecrated or not being serious like I have. And there can be a judgment. That's why the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. Because that same judgment falls back on you. Sometimes you're pinned to that mat because you've been critical. In other times and situations, it's like, oh, I'm a hypocrite. I don't deserve to get up. I don't deserve, no. No, I'll tell you what, it comes down to this. God loves me, and Jesus died on that cross for all my sin. And there is nothing that is pinning me to the mat that He did not die for. There is nothing that I can't confess and receive cleansing and forgiveness from and get back up off the mat. Hebrews puts it this way, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? There is nothing that's got you down there that you cannot be completely restored and get back up again. He loves you. He is for you. He is for you. And that's what I want to get across this morning at this point. God is for you. He is that one that sticks closer than a brother, the one who never leaves you nor forsakes you. I love the scripture in Psalm says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That's God. That's our God. He is with us. He is for us. How many times are we supposed to forgive? 70 times 7 in a day. So I don't know how many times you may have hit the mat in that area, but I can tell you one thing. The grace, the patience of God is still there for you. He loves you. You can get back up again. So number one, just know that God is for you, okay? In other words, the enemy is saying, stay down, stay down. Don't get back up again. Come on, give it up. Yes, you are a hypocrite. Yes, God is mad at you. Yes, God doesn't want you to get back up. That's a lie. He is a liar and a father of lies. But God is saying, no, get back up again. You can do it. So number one thing to know if you fall, number one, know that God is for you. Number two thing you need to know is know that He is able to make you stand. He is able to make you stand. I love this passage. It's Romans chapter 14, verse 4. It says, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Amplified, who are you to pass judgment on and censure another's household servant? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And he, God, shall stand and be upheld. For the master, the Lord, is mighty to support him and make him stand. It's important to know, too, when you're getting ready to get back up, not only is he for you, not only is he cheering your name. You remember you guys saw that movie Rocky? At the end of the movie, everybody was cheering Rocky. Rocky, Rocky. And he was kind of feeding off the encouragement and the support of the crowd. You could tell it helped his tenacity. It helped him to go on. And it's important to realize that God, again, he's cheering you on. I love the way the Hebrews writer puts it. He says, we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. We've got people that are excited for us that we can run this race. But Romans 14:4 tells us a very powerful insight. God is able to make him stand. And you know what the power of getting back up again is? You are learning how to let him make you stand. See, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when you're talking about standing, these are very different areas of our life that we can talk about in terms of of standing. You may have to stand against temptation. You may have to stand in your love walk so you don't get bitter. You may have to stand in faith for your finances and trust God and believe God. There can be, you may be standing in faith for healing. You may be standing in faith for whatever it is. There is a stand. You know, Ephesians says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. But God is able to make you stand. That means he has the strength and the ability to uphold you. Now, a very powerful key to standing and having done all to stand is a few things. Number one is when you're getting up off that mat, I mean, I like to think of it this way, get up in worship. Get up in praise and worship. The psalmist says that, you know, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that is such a powerful way that we get up. We get up in praise. We get up looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is able to make me stand. Now, how does that work in real life? How is it that I can actually stand in real life? Realizing that the power to stand comes from his word. Now, as I'm talking about a certain area of my life and standing, what we're talking about here is really, we're talking about growing up spiritually. We're talking about walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. We're talking about what you could say, the Bible says in Romans, that by the Spirit I put to death the deeds of the body. And this is what's happening in that process as you begin to stand and stand and stand and stand. You will begin to develop spiritual instincts and understanding. The Hebrews writer again says, the strong meat belongs to the mature, those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern good and evil. But he is able to make you stand. Now, this is something that you've got to realize. If you're going to stand where you've not stood before, there's going to be a new reality in your life. In other words, you're used to getting knocked out. You're used to getting knocked down by certain things, by the lust of the flesh or certain offenses and things like that. You're going to learn when that punch comes, when that imagination comes, to cast down that imagination. Say, nope, I'm not thinking that way anymore. I know I've thought that way for 20 years, and I've had to get back up for 20 years, but now I'm going to move. Now I'm going to let it go by. Now I'm going to say, nope, I'm not going to let any corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, except that which is good to the use of edifying. You begin to think, you begin to say, Lord, I need your strength to make me stand. And what happens, again, is as you begin to look to God, he will strengthen you. The word, see, the strength is actually in the word of God. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able, praise God, to divide asunder the soul and the spirit. And the strength that is in the word is the strength that gets in your spirit that helps you stand. So, for example, if I am dealing maybe with fear that it seems to knock me to the mat, I'm going along fine, and all of a sudden I get a thought of fear that just, you know, knocks me upside the head. Man, I can begin to say, according to the word, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And there is strength in this word that will strengthen my spirit and give me the strength to stand. See, God wants to strengthen you. There is strength in worship, there is strength in the word, and there is strength as you just begin to call upon the name of the Lord. The scripture says that he is able to run to the cry of those who are going through temptations, tests, and trials. So, the number one thing you've got to realize, number one, is to know, again, that he is for you. And number two, know that you have the power to stand. You do have the power to stand through his strength. He's able to make you stand. That's why I'm going to get back up again. And finally, you need to know that there is something worth getting up for. Okay? And again, we're talking about spiritual tenacity this morning. We're talking about, man, I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to get back up again and do what God has called me to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 puts it this way. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. I so love this scripture. This is the scripture that gives us the vision, the purpose, the reality that there are things on the inside of us that God put in us specifically to do. We are His own workmanship, His own handiwork. Good works that He's ordained us, paths He's predestined, planned beforehand for us to take, that we should walk in them. You know, I kind of saw it like this. You know, if you could just imagine, picture the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's standing here, and He's got His arms open wide, and here we are, well, say He's standing here, He's got His arms open wide, and here we are, humanity, you know, Christians, believers. What we are doing in our life right now is we are actually running, walking, living toward Jesus Christ. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, run the race that is set before us. Well, if I'm running a race that's looking unto Jesus, then my race is taking me right to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you can imagine, if you will, a group, a very large multitude of believers who are all looking unto Jesus, and they're all running their race, and all of our races converge at the same point, the Lord Jesus Christ. What you would see is the distance between the Lord Jesus Christ and each one of those people running to Him. That gap would be what we call the vapor of life, the few years that we have down here. There would be some people just getting started way back there, be people in the middle, there'd be people just about to Him. All right? And ultimately, we're running. We're running toward Him. And there are people that are already in His arms right now. But ultimately, we're going to all end up in His arms, one way or the other, when our vapor is done. We all end up in the same arms of the Lord Jesus Christ as we're running to Him. But we got to realize that there is something worth getting up for. I'm in a race. There are good works that He's ordained me to walk in. And when I get up with purpose. I am so glad that I decided that I didn't decide to stay down 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I'm glad that I've decided to get up. Yes, I may have stayed down longer than I should have, but thank God I got back up. And you can get back up and get back up and get back up, because there is a Savior, there is a purpose, there is a plan that He has for our lives that He has ordained us to walk in. I'm glad the Apostle Peter, that remember when he denied Christ 3 times, the Bible says the 3rd time Jesus looked right at him and Peter went out and wept bitterly. I'm glad Peter didn't stay down after denying the Lord 3 times, because days later he got 3,000 people saved. John Mark is a fellow who went with the Apostle Paul on his very first missionary journey. And halfway through that first missionary journey, he decided he was scared and didn't want to go on, or he wanted mom's cooking or something, but he abandoned the mission. All right? He decided enough of this. He went back home. And so on that next missionary journey, when Barnabas, Mark was Barnabas' nephew, and he wanted to take Barnabas again. You know, say, come on, Paul, let's give him another shot. Paul said, no way, nope. Remember what he did last time? We can't trust him. He's not trustworthy. He's not ready for this. And it was the argument got so strong that Paul and Barnabas went their own ways. All right? Now, you can imagine what kind of effect that might have had on John Mark. But you know what? Before the Apostle Paul finished his life, he said, bring Mark with you. He is profitable for me in the ministry. Mark got it right. Mark got back up again. And Mark went on to write the Gospel of Mark, the guy who abandoned Paul on the first missionary journey. These are people who got up again. No matter where you're at, no matter what your situation is, no matter what that sin is that so easily besets you, I don't care if it's beset you 10,564 times, you get up 10,565 times. Get back up. There is a God who is for you. He is able to make you stand, and you got something worth getting up for. There is a plan. There's a call of God on your life. There is a plan that He has you to walk in and fulfill. And I just kind of feel like I'm just more, this message this morning is just more of an exhortation. And I just feel like it's somewhat of a prophetic exhortation. Because I feel like there are people here right now this morning. You have been good. You've been faithful in a lot of different areas and a lot of different ways. But you have been frustrated with yourself about certain weights and certain sins. And in your own mind, you've somewhat disqualified yourself. You need to know that you are not at all in any way, shape, or form disqualified. He loves you. He is for you. And you can get back up. You can answer the bell again. And as you begin to get back up, you're going to begin to learn to draw on His strength. And as you begin to learn to draw on His strength, praise God, you're walking by faith, not by sight. You're going to learn to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And He's going to begin to show you as you receive forgiveness, as you get back up, what to do next. Scripture to read, beginning to get your mind beginning to get transformed by the renewing of your mind. No matter what it is, no matter what it is, you can get back up. You never have to stay down. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord delivers him out of them all. We're always in this race. We're always in this fight. And we are running with purpose. We're getting up, running toward our Savior, running toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, that's my heart. Like the Apostle Paul, when he got to the end of his life, he said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and quote. This is 2 Timothy 4:7. If you want to follow along in your Bibles. But 2 Timothy 4:7, this is the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, verse 6, and the time of my departure is at hand. I love the way the Apostle Paul talks. He always talks about death in terms of departing. You know, that's what happens. You're just departing. And he says, I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Praise God. That's what I want my heart cry to be. Lord, I've fought the fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And that's something that we got to realize that we can do. No matter what it is, don't let anything, the weights and the sins that so easily beset you, they'll get in your head and they'll tell you that they own you, that they've got you. Yeah, you can do your thing, but that's one area you'll never be free from. No, there is no area that you could never be free from. You have everything that you need. There is nothing that the enemy has that God's promise, that His power, that His grace isn't stronger than. And that's so much, what were we talking about? We're talking about an identity of the heart. To realize that no matter what, I am, praise God, I am bought with a price. The Scripture tells us that I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's where you are. You are no longer in that kingdom. And when the enemy comes around to your mind and says, yes, but I still own you. I still know nothing. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get back up. And I'm going to keep looking to God. And I'm going to grow. And I'm going to develop. And I'm going to get strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Praise God. Because He is for me. He's able to make me stand. And I have something worth getting up for. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus. We just thank You this morning that no matter what we're dealing with in our life, Father, that we have the grace, that Your grace is sufficient for us. Father, I just pray right now, very specifically, that each person here this morning, whatever it is that they have felt like has owned them, whatever they felt like has been that easy, that sin that so easily besets them, I pray, Father God, that there would just be a change in their thinking. That this morning the tables are turned. Praise God. And that He that's in me is greater than whatever that is. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get back up again. I am not going to stay down. I'm going to get back up because my God is for me. I'm going to get back up because there is nothing. There is no punch. There is no trial. There is no tribulation that can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I'm getting back up to my best friend, my Lord Jesus Christ. I'm getting back up to my wonderful Heavenly Father, from whom nobody can pluck me out of His hand. I'm getting back up to the power of the Spirit of God that strengthens me with might and the inner man, that strengthens me to be able to stand, that puts strength in my legs, that puts confidence in my spirit, that puts authority in my voice, that gives me the ability to resist steadfast in Jesus' name. Spiritual things are real, and I will really walk in the Spirit and walk in the power of God in the name of Jesus. You've given me, Lord, everything that pertains to life and godliness. I get back up in the armor of God, in the sword of the Spirit, in the shield of faith. I get back up knowing, praise God, that there is a path that you've predestined that I should walk in. Good works that you've ordained me to walk in. I am your workmanship, and I will not stay on the mat. I am your workmanship, and I will get back up and fulfill the call of God on my life. I will fulfill the plan that you have for me. And nothing, no devil in hell, no fleshly impulse, no person's offense will take me off my course. I will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony in every area of my life. I will put away the wood, the hay, and the stubble, and I will be useful to the Master. Heavenly Father, I speak these words over your precious people. Each one, your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I speak the encouragement of God. I speak the love of God. I speak the joy of the Lord over their lives, Father God. I pray, Father, for glimpses, divine perspectives in each heart here this morning, that they would begin to see by the Spirit of God the things that you've ordained them to walk in, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would take them 30,000 feet up, Father, and see that situation from your view. And see how big you are, how small that is, and the purpose that you have for each life here this morning, Father. I thank you, Father God, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that can separate me from each person here from the all-enveloping love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Persecution can't do it. Fear can't do it. Angels can't do it. Principalities can't do it. Death can't do it. Things past, things present. No created thing can do that. Nothing can take us out of your hand. Father, my prayer this morning is that each one here just grabs hold of a spirit of faith, Father, and gets up refreshed in your grace, in your mercy, in your love, Father. And sees in the eye of the Spirit the hope of their calling, Lord. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, just flow in this place. Oh, each one here is precious to you. And it's not how smart we are in you. You just absolutely love us. Man, we learn and we grow for our own ability to express and grow up spiritually. But that love question was satisfied and settled. While we were sinners, it was settled. Oh, Father, help us to settle it in our own hearts and to get back up and to realize that you have not given up on us, that your patience is not worn out with us, but that you are ready, ready to make us stand, ready to whisper the encouragement of your love, the green pastures and the still waters into our spirit, Father. And from that place, lead us into those good works, those paths of righteousness that you've ordained us to walk in, Father. You are a good heavenly Father. You're a good shepherd. We thank you, Father, for encouragement, strength, blessing now to your precious people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that. Receive that. You know, just in my spirit, I just kind of felt like, there's just something God wanted to do here this morning more than a teaching. He wanted to stir you up in your heart. Don't be complacent. Many run the race, but only one wins. The Bible says, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. That means get back up. Get in the race. Don't sit out. Don't stay out. Man, God loves you. It's amazing how just a thought, just daring, to believe the love can get you up, refreshed and strengthened in Him. Praise God.